Welcome to the Faith and Sustainability Podcast. I'm Leonard Robinson, your host, your tour guide, and your fellow traveler on this sacred journey towards a more just and sustainable world.
And I'm Kat Doyle, your co-host. I do want to remind everybody that our podcast is made possible through the generous support of Jamie Lanier, the Varlamov Family Foundation, Georgia Interfaith Power and Light, St. Francis Services, and Simcoe Atlanta. Their dedication is important to keeping us going, and they are the reason we're able to have our guests here today. I want to welcome Susan Varlamov and Rob McDowell. These are people, Leonard, that we know personally, and we are super excited to have them with us today.
Yeah, a tiny little backstory. In 2015, Pope Francis wrote Laudato Si, which was a call for a conversion of heart and mind and practices in sustainability. Well, Atlanta, the Archdiocese of Atlanta was the first archdiocese to respond, and they responded with the Laudato Si Action Plan. So we're celebrating 10 years of the Laudato Si Action Plan, which was a response to Pope Francis's encyclical. And we have the two founders and authors of the Laudato Si Action Plan, the aforementioned Dr. Rob McDowell and Susan Varlamov. Welcome to the intersection of faith and sustainability.
So I want to jump in, and Susan, you tell the best story about how you came to even begin thinking about doing this. It's my understanding you asked Archbishop Gregory, now Cardinal Gregory, if you could work with the Pope.
Actually, I went straight to the Pope. I was told at the top. I was at a conference in Washington, D.C., and there was a panel of religious experts, and there were zero Catholics. And I was very upset, and I was grumbling to the guy next to me, and he said, you know, the Pope is coming out with an encyclical. Hold on. So he said, just go right to the Pope and tell him you can help. And I did, and I got a nice form letter saying, I will pray for you. So that didn't work. So I said, I know that the Archbishop is appointed by the Pope, so let me try that route. So I went to my pastor who connected me with the Archbishop, and he was able to get a meeting. He said it took a while because I am, you know, who am I? So, and the Archbishop Gregory just laughed and laughed. He goes, Susan, please. That's an inside job trying to work with the Pope. He said, there's a Pontifical Academy of Sciences. He said, but what we need in Georgia is an action plan. It's, you know, wonderful for the Pope to say, okay, here's a call to care for the earth. This is what's going on. But how do you do that? And so in my job, I was able to take complex scientific information and distill it, and I work for the Extension Service, to simple actions and things people could do. So I said, sure, I will take this on. And not wanting to do this by myself, I called my good friend Rob and said, Rob, please, would you mind helping me? And I know Rob is an excellent writer. He is spiritual, very spiritual, a good speaker. And so I asked him, and he said, yes, emphatically. I thought my hearing was going. So I asked him a second time, and he said, yes, the second time. So, and he's here with us. And I'm so deeply grateful that he said yes, because he added so much to our action plan. We both did half, and his expertise was really important.
Rob, let's hear your side of it. How did you get engaged, and you know, what were your thoughts in the beginning?
Actually, the Pope called me and said, "Do you know this Varlamov woman?"
She keeps hanging out at the Vatican.
And I said, sure, I know her. We've been old friends. Susan and I worked together for the Department of Natural Resources for years, and then we both migrated over to the University of Georgia, and that was when Susan called me. And it's one of the great honors of my life and my career to have participated in the development of this action plan.
So, you know, what is it that you wanted out of the action plan? What did you see the action plan doing? And how it was going to be used?
I think we discussed what we wanted it to be like, and we wanted it to be a thing where the parishes could actually implement the parishes, and then the individual parishioners could find things to do to personally implement Laudato Si. And so that's how we came up with, I forget exactly how we had several meetings actually at the University of Georgia with other scientists, men and women of faith, who were Pam Knox, Marshall Shepard, David Stooksberry, all scientists of faith.
Mark Reese,
that's right. And we worked out the main areas to work on and how we could approach this. And then we came up with the idea of having easy, medium, and difficult steps to take that a parish and individuals could do. So we really wanted it to be a very practical action plan for implementation of Laudato Si.
Were these scientists that you worked with, now were they all Catholic?
No, not at all. Mark Reese is Catholic, but David Stooksberry is Episcopal, Pam Knox, Presbyterian, Marshall Shepherd, Baptist. They're all men and women of faith who just naturally integrate their faith with their scientific background.
And Susan, when you got this group of people together to help you, tell us kind of what were your thoughts and plans? Where were you going with this?
What was incredible was nobody turned us down. Remember, Rob?
That's right.
Nobody turned us down. I think what we saw was combining the moral imperative to protect the earth for future generations with the science. We are all scientists. And we know what it's like to come up with our graphs and charts, trying to convince people to listen to us. And we know that the earth is sustains our life, human life. And so we were thinking the moral imperative, but also the power of the pulpit, that all these, and it could be used by many different faiths. That was one thing we decided. So the imam, the priest, the pastor, the rabbi could go and make a compelling argument to his members of his faith. And they, in every faith, has sacred scriptures that calls on their faithful to do something about caring for the earth. And so we thought there's so many people on earth that practice some kind of religion that this seemed like a natural thing that it could work.
Well, you know, I was in San Diego and I met with the Diocese of San Diego, their green team. And the first thing they brought up was Susan Varlamov and brought up the action plan and said, we never could have got it. This gave us such a big head start. And then different parishes and even non-Catholic entities have used it. What have you heard about the national and international recognition of the Laudato Si action plan?
I had the good fortune in June to represent Ignatius House Jesuit Retreat Center here in Atlanta at the Jesuit Integral Ecology Assembly in Chicago at Loyola, Chicago. And everyone was aware. Everyone knew about the Atlanta Action Plan. And there was a little bit of frustration among some of the delegates there that more hadn't been done, more implementation hadn't been done, but they all knew that Atlanta was the vanguard of developing action plans.
Can I add something to that? I'm part of the Catholic Climate Covenant Interdiocesan group. They're basically Catholic leaders from across the country that are doing something in their archdiocese or diocese for Laudato Si. And I was at a Zoom meeting, and there were about 30, 40 people there. And some gentleman from Iowa, who I did not know, he said, let's face it, if it wasn't for Atlanta, we wouldn't be sitting here. I was so shocked and stunned. I said nothing.
Well, you guys have set the bar pretty high. I want to hear what has come out of the work with the action plan. Tell us what some people are doing and how they're using it.
I'm the creation care team leader for my parish. And the one thing I have learned is to listen to the others. So one of the first meetings, I said, okay, here's the action plan. If you could read it, and let's come up with some ideas of what we want to do. Not you have to do this, that, and the other. And someone said, boy, I am so sick of seeing all the garbage after events in our parish. She said, it's terrible. She said, we've got dishes. Why can't we wash dishes? That wasn't even in the action plan. I thought, what a great idea. So the Knights of Columbus now, for their Sunday morning breakfast, they wash dishes. And we said, well, the Knights are doing it. They said, we should do it on a bigger, greater basis. So the business manager said, Susan Varlamov, don't you think you need a volunteer dishwashing team? So now we've got the dishwashing brigade, and we are going to be going to the Hilltoppers Christmas luncheon with eight of us washing dishes. Because it's true, the amount of garbage after these events is terrible.
I feel like in my mind I'm seeing people carrying buckets of water to, with the brigade and all of that. But Rob, what about you? Your parish or the work you've done, what are they doing?
I think, well, my parish is the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. And first of all, it's a very old building. So it's going to be energy inefficient. Secondly, we have a food ministry and a homeless shelter. And the challenges of running one of those in a sustainable way, it's great. I mean, you're gonna be generating a huge amount of garbage. You're gonna be generating, the Mylar blankets that we hand out in the wintertime during cold spells. So I think it's been difficult to actually implement stuff like that in a really old, 19th century building. I think what I've noticed is a concept that people have, and just their awareness. Since Laudato Si came out, and then with the action plan, Catholics are more aware of the need to protect creation and the need to do things differently. There's a lot more infiltration that has to happen in that regard, but people are already thinking very, very differently about the earth, about nature, about our role in protecting it.
Well, the inspiration for the action plan is when Pope Francis released his encyclical. Kind of give me a timeline of after this encyclical was released, what were your actions and, to the point of finishing it?
I just remember being very excited, and every Friday morning I have breakfast with a group of Catholic men at J. Christopher's in Midtown. And I came bounding in with a copy of the encyclical that I had printed out in a black binder. And I said, here it is. And they said, what? Here's what? And so I had to explain to them all of this stuff about Laudato Si. And I think now they, after 10 years, they now have taken it to heart. However, I will say that there are still some Catholics who are not aware of Laudato Si. Lifelong Catholics are not aware of Laudato Si. So in spite of the wonderful work that Susan started that has spread around the Vatican, did you know that the Vatican, their action plan sort of apes some of the things that are in ours?
Yes, we did.
What a coincidence. Right after we delivered it.
exactly. So think about that. Think about that, Susan, that something that you and I wrote has not only been read by a pope. I mean, in my field, academia, it's publish or perish. Hey, I had something read by a pope. So they have actually mimicked some of our steps. So it's an international thing that has happened. But in spite of all that, there's a lot more work that I think needs to be done at the individual and at the parish level to make it an integral part of our Catholic faith. And because I go to a parish that has difficulty doing the bread and butter stuff just by nature, I am gratified to see the change in thinking that Laudato Si and the action plan has engendered.
I think also the one thing I'm seeing in a lot of parishes is they are doing sustainable gardening and putting in native plants. The one thing I said, we've got to avoid pesticides because they are so toxic in the soil. They kill the soil microbes. But also they're planting food for food pantries. That's a big, big thing. And so I always think when you've got your hands in the soil, you understand God's creation. You see how everything works together. And it's interesting to see how this evolves over time. When I began working with the gardening ministry, they were using pesticides. And then I said, listen, we can't be doing this. And I explained why. And then, but they still want to do it. So they're kind of sneaking when I'm not there. But I know what those plants look like that have been zapped with Roundup. So finally, I'd say, what are you doing this for? And, well, yeah, but I'm old. I said, I'll pull the weeds. But finally, after about 8 years, everybody pulls the weeds. We put down cardboard and we put down mulch. And it takes a while. It's like getting rid of styrofoam. Same thing.
So Laudato Si begat the Laudato Si Action Plan, which begat the Laudato Si Initiative, which begat the revision of the Laudato Si Action Plan, which led to this podcast. All right, as you look into your green tea leaves, what do you see the future of the action plan? You know, where is it going? What are you going to do with it?
Before that, you had your first edition of the action plan, and it was great because it said, here are all the things you can do, and they're easy, medium, or difficult. But a lot of people said, this is great, but we don't know how to do this. So I know as a group, we talked about, well, let's update the action plan. How did that update take place?
Yeah, I jumped the gun.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I think we took a hard look, our core team took a hard look at what needed to be added. And Leonard was very good about saying we've got to add more about environmental justice. And I thought he was right. We had to change the cover. It wasn't diverse. And we have a beautiful cover, I think, now with children of different cultures trying to hold the cracked earth together. At least that's what it looks like to me. So I think... And we decided to add more with advocacy. So our team decided together what needed to be added. And so we did that, and we needed more experts because we really began with just scientists. So we had, you know, educators and theologians, and we had a monk from the monastery, which was very, very good, too. So and so it was, we had 23 experts, and managing all that was...
like herding cats.
Yes. But you know what? Everybody worked well. They got their information in on time. It was excellent. It was a great experience.
Why was it important that we digitize and put live links and that sort of thing in the new plan?
Because that is the way our technology, our means of communication are moving. And I think that's also important in reaching out to younger people. And one of the things, if I look into my tea leaves, one of the things that I want to see the action plan and Laudato Si be integral parts of Catholic education. I want to see Sunday school classes and student groups at all the schools and all the parishes adopting these practices and adopting this whole new way of thinking about the earth. So it's not just an action plan. It is a portal into other behaviors. Why are we recycling? Well, who cares about recycling? Well, here's why. Why are we saving water? Well, here's why. You know, God calls us to be stewards of creation. Oh, really? Where? And have this be an integral part of Catholic training, education, spiritual development, faith formation.
Like a culture.
Exactly.
A culture of caring for the earth and one another.
Right.
And at St. John Newman, the preschool is doing that. That's incredible.
So it's interesting because we had Pope Francis who put out Laudato Si, but now we have Pope Leo who is absolutely continuing this work. What do you think that his input is going to be into helping us move forward with the actions we take around caring for creation?
I think the fact that it's going to be more than just Pope Francis is going to give it a lot more cachet among people who might have thought, oh, it's just a Pope Francis thing. If successive popes and an American pope at that, that's extraordinary in and of itself. So an American pope saying this is what we have to do, this is an important part of our Catholic faith, I think that's really, really important. That makes it a much more solid foundation of Catholic everything.
He's very much for advocacy, and that's one thing we're saying at the Catholic Climate Covenant. In the world we're living in now, which seems to be so divisive, we need to be advocates for the earth and one another, for kindness, for goodness, you know. So I think that's one thing he is adding. I see him speaking a lot, Pope Leo, on advocacy for the immigrant, the poor, walk with the poor.
So, Susan, do you have a personal way that this work has changed you?
Yes. I mean, for me, it's a calling. Since I was very young, I had an experience losing a sister to leukemia, which I think could be traced back to my father using DDT in copious quantities. No family needs to bear the heartache my family did.
For me, it's been a major hinge in my life, I think, because first of all, it was so great to have the opportunity when Susan called me to have that opportunity. But I've always sort of been in love with the earth. I like to say that I was born again when I went out west for my geology field camp. I'm a geologist, and as an undergraduate at Penn State, we went out west and in the summer of my junior year. And I'd never been farther west than Dayton. And to see this magnificence, I fell head over heels in love. And so my whole career has been geology and then environmental science. Then Susan calls me, after the Pope called me. It was such a merging of the passions in my life, my faith life, and then my professional life. The perfect marriage of these things. I recently retired. And this is exactly what I want to devote the rest of my life, my working years to.
But there's one more thing. You also do retreat direction around eco-spirituality.
That's true, I do.
Tell us how that came to be.
I lead retreats, I direct retreats on creation care at Ignatius House. And I was nominated to be on the board by one of the guys that I have breakfast with on Friday mornings. I met with the director, Maria Kressler. We clicked. I was on the board. And then we had some cleanup days. We had these cleanup days where volunteers come in and do all the work around the property and on the trails and in the forest. And they get a free night and a free dinner. It's like a one-night retreat. And they wanted someone to talk about just creation care. And so I did. And that led to me directing these retreats on so I just did my third retreat a few weeks ago.
Full circle.
Full circle. I'm telling you, full circle. It's really, really a great gift. And when I went to the Jesuit conference in Chicago, I remember thinking, this is almost creepy perfect. You know, this is exactly where I need to be, where I want to be, where I need to be. This is so beautiful. And here I am.
All right. Well, Rob, Susan, when did we revise the revision? When does that come up? When are you planning on that?
I think if we get the 10-year plan done, I was going to ask Rob if he would join me with that.
Of course.
We'll do that next year.
You heard it here.
And then let's take a look. I think the basic action plan is solid. But I think we've got new things we're adding, which is the facility manager training, developing tools for facility managers to sustainably manage the churches and schools, becoming centers of resilience. And I sort of think that's the direction the Catholic Church is, and many other churches maybe, as centers of resilience in the communities. And I can see that already happening.
Before we leave, I just wonder, have there been any challenges to this work that surprised you, or that you felt like you were maybe not being heard, or what have been the challenges?
There are still lots of people around the world, but also, you know, especially in the United States, who don't accept Laudato Si as being anything legitimate. When Pope Francis issued Laudato Si, one of the big networks, a commentator called Pope Francis the most dangerous man on earth. Not Putin, not Kim Jong-un or El Chapo, but no, Pope Francis. And Kat, we had a meeting before, and you were talking about a facilities manager who was very opposed to Laudato Si and is now fully on board after having been introduced to it. And I think that's probably not that uncommon, that there are folks in the archdiocese and in any church who are like, nah, this is not important.
It's not church.
It's not church. Perfectly said.
Conversion. Where have we heard that before?
Ecological conversion.
That's right.
I think that's the fundamental importance of Laudato Si and the action plan.
Hey, Rob, Susan, this has been great. You know, the podcast, having you come on, giving us the timeline, the inspiration, and a little glimpse into the future of it. So we really, really thank you. you know, for coming on the podcast. This podcast is a result of the Laudato Si action plan. So this is one of the derivatives. So, hey, we're going to be with you lockstep every step of the way. Thank you again for all your work. Thank you for coming on the podcast again. And we're looking forward to, you know, celebrating the 20th year of the Laudato Si action plan.
We'll be here.
Thank you.
So we want to just let our listeners know that we're going to be taking a little refresh break over the holidays. Keep an eye on the socials. See what's coming up in the meantime, and we'll see you sometime next year
at the intersection of faith and sustainability.
The preceding podcast is a production of the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Atlanta. Copyright 2025.